Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Okay, let's unpack this. Today, our deep dive takes us into the incredibly powerful memoir Finding Me by the one and only Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just, you know, a celebrity autobiography, right?
Yeah.
It feels like a profound excavation of a life, a really raw and honest journey.
Totally.
From, I mean, the depths of extreme poverty to becoming one of the most celebrated actresses of our time, achieving that rare triple crown of acting.
Yeah, the Oscar, Emmy, Tony, the whole sweep.
Exactly. It's quite something.
And what's truly fascinating here, I think, is that the book goes so far beyond just the accolades. It's really a deep meditation on identity, on processing trauma, the whole journey of healing.
Right.
And ultimately, it feels like it's about the revolutionary act of just claiming your full humanity. Davis writes with such unflinching honesty.
She really does.
Yeah. And it illuminates how her personal transformation didn't just change her life, but it sort of became a catalyst for broader social change. It shows us that, you know, true success is really about being authentically yourself, no matter the cost.
That's a perfect way to frame it. So let's start right at the beginning with her origins. A childhood that sounds, well, almost unimaginable for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Her story kicks off in the sharecropping fields of St. Matthew, South Carolina, a place she describes pretty vividly as cursed earth, you know, steeped in generational poverty, systemic oppression.
Right.
Her family migrated north to Central Falls, Rhode Island, hoping for something better, but they just found a different kind of grinding poverty.
Yeah.
She talks about searching dumpsters for food scraps, living in these rat-infested apartments, the constant just searing shame of wearing clothes that marked her out as poor. It sounds brutal.
Oh, absolutely brutal. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you really see this duality of fierce love and devastating pain within her home. It shaped her whole understanding of human complexity.
How so?
Well, her father, Dan, he was a horse trainer, physically strong, but he battled alcoholism. And that cast these incredibly long, sometimes violent shadows over their lives.
Hmm.
But then her mother, May Alice, she was the spiritual and emotional anchor, just fiercely determined, you know, to protect her kids' spirits amidst all that hardship.
Ooh.
It's quite a portrait of resilience within adversity. And then outside the home, Viola also faced just relentless bullying, racial slurs, compounding that feeling of being an outsider, unworthy, unseen.
It's hard to really wrap your head around the weight of all that, especially so young. But then, like you mentioned, a flicker of escape appeared. Through theater.
Exactly. Theater in high school. And it was really catalyzed by the Federal Upward Bound program.
Okay.
And she describes this really transformative trip to New York. She saw Cicely Tyson in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman.
Ah, yes. What was it about that specific experience? Why was that such an epiphany for her?
Well, that trip was. It was everything for her. Seeing a dark-skinned Black woman on screen portrayed with such profound dignity, such complexity, it was just an absolute revelation.
Hmm.
It was really the first time she saw a reflection of herself, not through that lens of poverty or shame or, you know, racial caricature, but as a full, worthy human being.
Right.
It just ignited the spark. It showed her a path where her own experiences, her own truth could actually be expressed and valued. That one moment really propelled her, first to Rhode Island College, and then, incredibly, to Juilliard.
Juilliard. I mean, that's an extraordinary leap from where she started.
Huge leap.
But you suggested it wasn't exactly a smooth ride. You called it a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
What made that world-class training so complex for her?
It absolutely was complex. Look, Juilliard gave her this world-class classical training, right?
Yeah.
It became the bedrock of her technique, really honed her craft.
Sure.
But it also profoundly challenged her identity. She talks about specific times where she was coached to, like, neutralize her Black speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, to iron out any vocal inflections that didn't fit this sort of Eurocentric theatrical mold. And, you know, this raises a really important question for all of us, I think.
Which is?
How do institutions, even ones dedicated to fostering talent, sometimes maybe inadvertently or maybe overtly, try to reshape an artist's identity?
That's a good point.
It highlights the subtle pressure, often unspoken, on actors from diverse backgrounds to kind of shed their cultural inflections. It forces this difficult choice, doesn't it, between artistic authenticity and institutional acceptance. It's a tension lots of artists still grapple with.
Yeah, I can see that.
So she left Juilliard with formidable skills, no doubt. but also with this renewed sense of alienation, feeling caught between the world she came from and the one she was trying to get into.
That's a really powerful insight into the sort of hidden costs of success in some systems.
Yeah.
So after Juilliard, with all that talent, all that training, her rise still wasn't easy. You mentioned small roles, industry biases. How did she navigate that time? What finally started to shift things?
Well, it was a brutal period. Honestly, those early years were just a constant struggle against industry biases. Mm. She was often told she wasn't, you know, pretty enough or feminine enough for leading roles, especially for Black women. Mm. And it wasn't just about looks. It was about this really narrow vision of what a Black actress could be, one that just didn't make space for her unique truth and her power.
Right.
Her real breakthrough initially came through theater. She won a Tony for August Wilson's King Hedley II.
August Wilson.
Yeah, and his work was just a revelation for her. It validated her experience. It spoke in the language of the people she knew. It let her embody characters with a depth that Hollywood had basically denied her. It was like a return to her authentic voice, but celebrated on stage.
Okay, and then here's where it gets really interesting, and I think just utterly pivotal. That single scene, the unforgettable one of the 2008 film Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes. After all those years honing her craft, battling biases, what was it about that brief performance, less than 10 minutes opposite Meryl Streep, that just made Hollywood finally unable to ignore her? What shifted?
You know, that scene in Doubt was, and I don't think this is hyperbole, it was the moment her talent just could not be denied anymore.
Yeah.
What's fascinating is how such a brief performance could so profoundly shift a career. Got her an Oscar nomination, totally transcended the industry's previous biases.
It's incredible.
She played Mrs. Miller, right? A mother grappling with these awful accusations against her son's teacher. And in that short time, she conveyed such a raw, just agonizing blend of fear, denial, protective love.
Mm-hmm.
It was this unfiltered explosion of human emotion, so specific yet so universal, it just stripped away all the preconceptions. It wasn't about being pretty enough anymore. It was pure, undeniable, formidable talent. You couldn't look away.
No, you couldn't.
It showed the industry undeniably what it had been missing out on.
That single scene really did open the floodgates, didn't it? Her starring role as Abilene Clark in The Help brought massive recognition, another Oscar nomination.
Right.
But as she talks about very openly in her memoir, that success was later kind of tinged with complex feelings, regret even for participating in what she came to see as a white savior narrative.
Yeah, that's a complex issue she tackles head on.
Yeah.
Where Black stories get framed through white characters' actions.
Exactly. And maybe it was that evolving consciousness, her search for roles that really reflected her experience that led her to Annalise Keating in How to Get Away with Murder in 2014. Which felt revolutionary.
Oh, absolutely. The significance of Annalise Keating just cannot be overstated. Here was a character who was complex, powerful, messy, brilliant, deeply flawed. It was a true form of liberation for Davis, I think.
Yeah.
It let her bring all the parts of herself to the screen. To embody a Black woman who wasn't idealized or subservient, but just fully unapologetically human, in a way Hollywood hadn't really allowed before.
That scene where she takes off the wig?
Iconic.
Right.
Takes off the wig, the makeup. It was such a powerful, raw statement about authenticity, vulnerability, the masks Black women often feel forced to wear.
Mm.
And that role got her the Emmy, made her the first Black woman to win for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama. It signaled a huge shift, really, in what was possible for Black female leads on TV.
And then her journey culminates, in terms of major awards anyway, with the Oscar for Fences in 2017,
mm-hmm.
solidifying her status as just a titan.
Absolutely.
But she didn't stop there. She took another really powerful, intentional step,
right.
starting Juvie Productions with her husband, Julius Tennant.
Right, creating their own path.
Exactly. Dedicated to uplifting marginalized voices, creating projects like The Woman King. So her recent years feel very much characterized by these intentional choices. She's actively become a cultural architect.
That's a great way to put it. This final chapter of her story really feels like one of profound integration, self-possession. It's clearly driven by years of therapy, deep self-reflection, the grounding love of her family.
Yep.
She's not waiting for the industry to offer her the right roles anymore. She's actively creating her own vision, shaping narratives, building a platform for stories that reflect a much broader, more authentic human experience.
Mm.
It's a powerful testament to taking control of your own narrative, not just as an individual, but as someone really committed to systemic change.
Okay, so after tracing this incredible often really harrowing journey. What does it all mean for us? What's really at the core of Viola Davis's philosophy that comes through in Finding Me?
Okay.
From what you've laid out, it sounds like, well, a philosophy of radical ownership.
That's exactly it.
Claiming every single piece of her story, even the most painful parts, to become truly whole.
Precisely. And her worldview is just deeply humanist, empathetic. She extends immense compassion even to her parents, despite the profound flaws and the abuse she suffered. She sees them not just as perpetrators, but as products of their own unhealed trauma. For instance, she talks about her father's violence not with just pure condemnation, but with this profound understanding of his pain, his systemic pain, seeing his rage as a product of circumstances he inherited.
Wow, that takes incredible strength.
It does. And it's that empathetic lens that defines her radical ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Her philosophy also really emphasizes active creation. If the world doesn't make space for you, you have to quite literally create that space yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And her motivations, you can see them evolve, right? From sheer survival as a kid to a desire just to be seen, then to this profound need for healing, and finally to legacy and service through Juvie Productions.
That's a really powerful evolution. And her approach to adversity, it really is a masterclass in resilience, what you call alchemy, transforming something painful into something meaningful. She doesn't shy away, does she? She confronts pain directly, uses her art as a conduit for her emotions, and she practices this unflinching honesty, speaking out against systemic racism, even her own regrets, like about the help. She doesn't just endure, she processes.
Exactly. And she advocates so fiercely for therapy, showing us that true strength isn't about enduring pain alone or pretending it doesn't exist.
Right. It's about courage.
It's about having the courage to seek help in processing it, doing the hard internal work. This raises an important question for us, doesn't it? How can we learn to transform obstacles into fuel like she did?
Mm.
For example, becoming a producer to actively change the very system that wouldn't cast her in the roles she deserved, she turned a personal limitation into this powerful system-altering opportunity. It's a profound model of active resistance and self-determination.
That idea really sticks with you. Let's dig a bit deeper now into some specific moments. Viola Davis's life has been punctuated by these profound turning points, moments that really dramatically altered her course. You've highlighted four key ones.
Yes, these feel like moments that fundamentally redirected her path. First, the dumpster diving experience.
Right, from her childhood.
Yeah, it's the searing memory, the sheer desperation of searching for food. And the shame, the dehumanization of that moment.
Mm.
It wasn't just about hunger. It really crystallized her understanding of poverty's devastating systemic effects.
Mm.
It wasn't just a fleeting hardship. It planted these seeds of fierce determination in her to never return to that kind of vulnerability. It shaped her work ethic profoundly. And later, it fueled her advocacy work around hunger. She gets it on a deep personal level.
Okay, what's the second one?
Second, the Juilliard experience. As we touched on, it provided elite training, but it was also deeply challenging.
Pressure to conform.
Exactly. The pressure to neutralize her Black speech. It wasn't just about elocution. It forced her to define and defend her own artistic identity against these pressures to fit a Eurocentric mold. She had to learn how to integrate the classical training with her authentic voice. It really solidified her resolve to stay true to herself, even when institutions pushed back. It was a crucible for her integrity.
Makes sense. And the third?
Third, the Doubt Academy Award nomination. That single brief performance as Mrs. Miller in 2008, it truly catapulted her onto the Hollywood A-list.
It really did feel like an arrival.
It was. It wasn't just an award nod. It was her moment of undeniable arrival. It proved beyond any doubt that her depth of talent, her unique presence, could no longer be ignored by an industry that had previously boxed her in. It just changed the whole perception of her potential, open doors that had been shut tight.
Okay, and the fourth pivotal turning point.
Fourth, becoming a mother through adoption. The decision to adopt her daughter, Genesis, after struggling with fertility, that represents a profound personal transformation. It wasn't just about expanding her family. It provided this anchor of unconditional love and stability that was clearly deeply healing for her. It addressed these deep-seated feelings she carried of being unlovable, and it gave entirely new meaning to all her professional success. It shifted her priorities, grounded her in a purpose way beyond just her career.
Those are incredibly powerful moments, each building on the last. So, wrapping this part up, what does this extraordinary life ultimately teach us? What are the human lessons we can take from Viola Davis's journey that might resonate in our own lives? For me, one big one is about transformation through truth-telling.
Yes.
That facing difficult truths about ourselves, our circumstances, instead of avoiding them, that's really the only path to genuine healing and growth.
Absolutely. And she also powerfully models the power of redefining success, doesn't she?
How so?
Choosing projects that align with her deepest values, her commitment to impact, not just chasing fame or what the industry thinks success looks like, and her authenticity as a revolutionary act. Mm. In a world that so often rewards conformity and these carefully curated public images, just being herself is radical. Her journey also shows that healing is an ongoing practice. It's not a destination you just arrive at.
Right. It's continuous work.
Exactly. It requires consistent, intentional effort. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that's so relevant today, isn't it? With social media curation and growing awareness of mental health, her openness really helps normalize these vital practices.
You're absolutely right. And finally, her life just powerfully demonstrates the responsibility of platform. How achieving visibility, achieving success creates these incredible opportunities and, crucially, obligations to advocate for others.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from just personal success to trying to catalyze broader social change, using your voice to lift others up. Okay, as we start to wrap up this incredibly rich deep dive into Viola Davis's journey and her memoir, Finding Me, let's distill three powerful takeaways for you, the listener. First, our emotional insight from her story is this. Trauma doesn't have to define us, but healing from trauma requires the profound courage to face it honestly and the unwavering commitment to do the ongoing work of recovery. Viola Davis shows us that our deepest wounds can actually become our greatest sources of wisdom and compassion if we're willing to transform that pain into purpose.
And on an intellectual insight level, what we learn is that success isn't just about individual achievement. It's ultimately about using whatever platform you gain, big or small, to create opportunities for others and to challenge the very systems that limit human potential. Davis really demonstrates that true leadership means expanding the definition of excellence to include people who've been traditionally excluded and amplifying voices that have been silenced.
And finally, for a universal insight, maybe it's this. Authenticity isn't just about being yourself. It's having the profound courage to become who you're truly meant to be, even, and maybe especially, when that person doesn't fit neatly into conventional expectations or societal boxes. Davis teaches us that our uniqueness isn't something to overcome or hide, but actually something to cultivate, to celebrate, and to bravely share with the world. What an incredible deep dive into Finding Me. Viola Davis's journey is such a powerful, undeniable reminder that every single person has a story worth telling and gifts worth sharing, no matter where they start from.
Yeah, and this raises an important question for all of us listening, doesn't it? Her memoir challenges us to examine our own lives with that same unflinching courage and honesty she demonstrates. What truths might you be avoiding in your own story? What platforms, however small they seem, do you have? How can you use your unique experiences, your evolving understanding of yourself, to lift others while you're lifting yourself? You know, the path Davis traveled is available to each of us. Maybe not the specific destination of Hollywood success, obviously, but that deeper, more profound journey of finding and expressing our most authentic selves in service of something greater than just ourselves alone.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Contra Foundation.